Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and our returning Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Waiting is hard, isn't it? If you don't think so, just ask a child at Christmas. Maybe for us that are older, if you've ever had to wait for a house to be completed that's being built or being able to move in. And then there's always that visit from a relative or a close friend, somebody you haven't seen in a long time who you dearly love that's coming for a visit. Time just seems to drag on, doesn't it? And then there's the example from today. How about the Lord's return? Waiting is hard. Well, in today's epistle, the Thessalonians knew that also. Paul had visited them and had come to his attention somewhere after his second missionary journey, before his third, that things, they were getting kind of antsy for the Lord's return and worried about some things. So that's when he writes his first letter to the Thessalonians, about 51 AD. They had this belief that Jesus was supposed to be coming before they died. I had an adopted grandmother, Grandma Baranek. Her son, one of her sons and my father were very, very close. Actually, he and his wife introduced my dad and my mom. But she fell in love with my dad. She had a bunch of her kids. My dad was one of 12, too. So much so that she moved to Miami a block away from us to be close to my dad. Well, she's a very religious lady. Christ was front and center in her life. And she told us that she knew that Jesus was going to return before she died. Well, you know, okay. So she's 80 years old. Okay. Then she's 90 years old. And we started watching the sky a little more. Then she got to be 100 years old. And we go out and check every morning. Well, he didn't return. She's with the Lord now. But that was kind of what was going on in Thessalonica. Thessalonica really thought that Jesus was going to return in their lifetime. The early church believed that. So much so for the Thessalonians that they were worried that the people who had died weren't going to be there to see his return, to experience that return. And it was upsetting them, and it was starting to reach into their lives and mess with their faith. And so it had been 18 years since Christ had died, and here they are waiting, and Paul's telling them, yeah, he's coming back, but people are dying before he returns. It's kind of like that first Easter. Jesus dies. Now, he had told them what? On the third day, I will rise. But even for 3 days, you think waiting was hard? Do you think they really believed he was coming back, totally understood all of that? So much so that what? When the women said he's not there, Peter and John run to the tomb to check it out for themselves. It was hard. And he even told them when it would be. The Thessalonians didn't know that. Well, how about us? So when is Jesus going to return? So we leave church today? That could be. Later this week? Could be. 100 years from now? We don't know, do we? We don't know the when. We just know that it's going to happen. And I think as we look at the letter to the Thessalonians, the question is, are we ready for it? Well, we look at the things that are happening in the world right now. We're told that what in the end times there'll be wars and rumors of wars and pestilence and famine and earthquakes and all this, and we look around and going, yeah, that made the news today. Anytime, Lord. Anytime, Lord. But waiting is hard, isn't it? Because when we wait, we tend to grow impatient. You know, that old prayer, Lord, give me patience and give it to me right now. And that impatience leads to what? Eventually, if that impatience goes on and it's not satisfied, we start to doubt. We start wondering if that which we're impatient for is really going to happen. And then that doubt can turn to what? To kind of a fear. All the things that I thought were, maybe they're not. And then we start to worry. I think we live in this time of what I call the ultimate separation anxiety. Everybody here has lost somebody they love, right? It's a separation anxiety, isn't it? We're impatient. We want to be back together. We want to see each other. We want to see them again. Until that happens, I'm a little anxious. But then there's also that separation anxiety that we have with Christ. You know, I really want to walk hand in hand with you someday. I want to be able to reach out and touch you like you touch me in the sacraments. I really don't like this separation. But that's the role of sin and death, isn't it? They bring separation. If you think about it, when sin came into the world, it separated us from life. God had never intended us to be separated from that. But sin brought separation. That sin brought us a separation from God. It drew a wedge between where we were and where He was. And then there was that thing called death that entered the world. And we know the separation it brings. It severs relationships that we've known here. We know that death also is that part that separates, that thing that separates what? Us, body and soul, our very being gets separated in death. But if those are things from Satan, we have a God that's not into separation. Our God is a God of unity. If Satan desires separation, our God is into restoration and bringing us and undoing the things that we become disconnected from. God unites and restores. Where Satan divides, God unites. And we see that from the very beginning. That we chose to be separated from God as we sinned in Genesis. And what does God do? He comes into the garden, and the first thing He does is try to reunite us to Himself with a promise. I will put enmity between you and the woman, between your seed and her seed, and what? You're going to bruise His heel, but He's going to crush you. A Messiah will come and bring us back into the unity that I created you to have. And so Christ came. Think about it. God could have done it any way He wanted. But Jesus comes and He says, no, I'm going to unite myself, divinity to humanity. I'm going to connect myself to you. And that ultimate connection happened where? On that cross of Calvary. Where He says, give me your sin. I'll take it. I will take and be the godly, the perfect, who becomes sin for you. And so He connects. He paid the price. And so now as we see Jesus, we see Jesus Himself who comes to us now. And He says, Now I'm going to unite you to myself. And he does that. It first happened in the water of baptism, where Jesus says, I unite you through this water to my death and my resurrection. What is mine has now become yours. My righteousness, my purity, my ability to stand before the Father is now yours. That's how united we are. Matter of fact, I'll even give you my family. Go ahead, call him Father. Because now we're family. And the unity continues, doesn't it? He says, I go what? To prepare a place for you. I'll come back and get you so I can take you home to live with me. For your lifetime or for his? For all eternity. He unites us to himself in a very wonderful way. And he unites you to himself in the resurrection. He's the firstborn of the dead. All of us follow. His resurrection is ours. But when's it going to happen? Waiting's hard, isn't it? But what will it be like when the waiting is ended? That's what Paul writes to the Thessalonians about. He says, I don't want you to be uninformed, brothers, about those who are asleep, to those who have died, to the ones you're worried about, that you're worried that they're not going to see the Lord when he comes. And I don't want you to grieve like other people do. They have no hope. But remember, you're united to Christ, and he rose from the dead, and you do have hope. For since we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so, through Jesus, God will bring with him those who have fallen asleep. You know, all those people that we've laid to rest, all those people that I've buried, all those family and friends, if they're the Lord's, they're with the Lord right now in terms of spirit, aren't they? They're in safekeeping in the hands of Christ. But the day is coming when Jesus is going to say, hey guys, time to go back and get the rest of you. And so he brings with him all those who have fallen asleep. And this I love. For this we declare to you by a word from the Lord, that we who are alive, who are left until the coming Lord, will not precede those who have fallen asleep. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with the cry of a command, with the voice of an archangel, with the sound of the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive, who are left, will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. Isn't that neat? People that we buried, if the Lord were to come right now, they get to see him before we do. And that seems kind of fair, doesn't it? If I have to experience death, well, shouldn't I get in the front of the line then? This is kind of God's justice that's super. You know, you who are worrying about them, well, don't worry about them. They're in the front of the line. You're in the back right now. They're going to get to see him, but not only see him, they see him first. God has a way of making all things right, doesn't he? And so on that day, what happens? Souls, bodies separated in death are reunited. People have not died, as Paul says in 1 Corinthians, are changed to be what? To be bodies and souls that live forever. So we'll always be with the Lord. It's going to be a great day. A day we look forward to. But there's a tension here that we take and we say we don't know when. Until then, what? Christ has given us a mission. Till that day when all those things that we have seen by faith that have been the spiritual, the Christ, the picture of Jesus in our heads, in our hearts, becomes a reality as we meet him face to face. A unity that we've kind of experienced somewhat at a distance becomes like this. How wonderful that day will be, that we get to experience Jesus like the people who met him after the resurrection did 2,000 years ago. We, the united, are finally united forever with Christ. But waiting's hard. And as we wait for this final unification, Jesus still comes connecting us. He's in that unification mode right now. Look at where you are right now. Connected as the body of Christ to him and to one another. United together in him. We're doing what? We're hearing the word that became flesh, and he comes and he talks to us. And he's with us, uniting with us through his word and through the Spirit. And the foretaste of the feast to come, we're not going to have it today, but when we gather at his table, we're united with who? With angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven. All those people we've laid to rest are part of that sweet communion. A foretaste of that final day. And so while we wait, Paul says that we are to encourage one another with these words. When the waiting gets hard, we look at each other and say, Christ died, and Christ rose, and Christ ascended, and Christ will come again. For sure. As sure as that tomb was empty, so he will come again. My grandma Beranek thought she would meet him in the sky. Well, she will, but with a resurrected body. And every time I think about this, I think of my first congregation. We met for a while. We were a mission, and we met in a cemetery. Actually, in the chapel of a mausoleum. We increased our attendance a lot, if you counted the souls that were laid to rest there. But on Good Friday that year, we went out into the cemetery and we read the burial service for Jesus, the committal service. And then on Easter morning, we went to that same spot. I don't remember the first words of a lot of services, but I remember those. He's not here, he's risen. And boy, is there going to be a more glorious place to be on the last day than a cemetery? They're not here. They've risen. And they are with the Lord. So while we wait, what do we wait for? We wait for one more Easter. But that Easter will be our resurrection. Until then, Christ died, Christ rose, Christ ascended, and Christ is coming again. Amen. Amen. And now the peace of God that passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in the Lord Jesus Christ. He'll come back for us. Amen.